this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, the first hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, do you agree or disagree? Well, I thought maybe we'd start out this evening talking about the program that was aired on a Sunday evening on 60 Minutes. And it was the segment that questioned who killed Rebecca Riley. And Rebecca was a little 4-year-old girl. When she was about 2 years old, she was a little hyperactive and irritable, and they went to see a psychiatrist because a couple of her other siblings had been hyperactive and been diagnosed as manic depressive. Now, children ordinarily don't get manic depressive disease, but psychiatrists are coming up with all sorts of diagnoses. You have to have a diagnosis to treat, and then you get your fee, and the drug companies get their fees, and the drug companies are actually encouraging people to get children onto all sorts of psychotropic drugs. And so it was with this little girl. She started on psychotropic drugs at 2, and by 4 years of age, why, she was taking at least 3 different drugs. One of them was clonidine, I think it was called, and the other were very sophisticated psychotropic drugs. Now, none of these diseases have been authorized by the FDA for use in children. And, of course, the problem is they do not know what effect these psychotropic drugs will have on the brains, on the development of the children. But there are almost 1 million children in America who've been diagnosed with manic depressive disease, which I don't believe occurs in children. It doesn't occur until later in life, but there have been a few very dominant psychiatrists. There's one from Harvard who has a very foreign accent, sounds like, I don't know where he came from, but he was simply saying that we had to treat all these children, had to get them into treatment, and of course the person who was doing the interview said, but these drugs you're using aren't approved for what you're doing. And the reply was, well, am I to tell them to come back in 10 years when we determine whether the drugs are safe before we treat them? Well, you know, when I practiced medicine, there was one rule, and that was first do no harm. And if you don't know whether something's going to be harmful, you certainly don't use it on 1 million children in America. We know what Ritalin does as far as the development is concerned, because it suppresses the pituitary, and these children, they are smaller in stature after they get their Ritalin. If you read the book called Ritalin by Dr. Peter Bragan, who used to do research at Johns Hopkins, I'm not sure where Dr. Bragan is now, but Dr. Bragan had pointed out that the brains of these children on Ritalin were smaller. And yet millions of American children every year are placed on Ritalin, and it has not only a pharmacological but a physical effect on our children. Well, give us a call if you're out there in the listening audience at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you because, of course, the main reason for putting these children onto these terrible drugs is why some of them have they're hyper irritable. They have what you might call the attention deficit hyperactivity disorders or ADHD. And yet, of course, this is exactly what you get when a child gets aspartame. In fact, there's one study in the Dominican Republic where 300 children, they wanted to get off milk, so they put them on water flavored with aspartame to give it some taste, and all 300 became hyperactive, all 300 became irritable and difficult to control, and when they took them off the aspartame, they all got better. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1 888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. This is Open Lines, and we hope many of you will give us a call. But the difficulty is that we're treating at least a million children, at least according to this program on 60 Minutes, for manic depressive disorders. We're treating millions of children, and some people say it's only a million. Some people say it's as many as 6 million children. Some people say there's 6 million prescription written for Ritalin every year for children. Now, some of them may get repeated prescriptions. But whether it's a million or 6 million children getting Ritalin and another 6 million getting these psychotropic medications, and what is the basis of disorder? Why, you know, we talk about the terrible twos. A lot of children are very difficult at age two. And a lot of them are very difficult because they're getting aspartame. Now, aspartame is a poison that was kept off the market for many years by, of course, the FDA. But once it's been released, why, there's no way to get the scientific evidence known to the American people, and certainly the doctors don't know. But this is a product that breaks down into phenylalanine and aspartic acid, the two amino acids, both of which can have a toxic effect on the brain, and methanol. Then the methanol then breaks down to formaldehyde, and this creates convulsions. It essentially produces brain tumors. It can cause hyperactivity. It can cause multiple sclerosis-like disorders. And we're giving this medicine to our kids. We're giving it to them in their chewing gum, Wrigley's chewing gum. Most Wrigley's chewing gum has aspartame in it, which we call NutraSweet. It is in many of the baby foods or many of the prepared foods you're going to get. And if you start reading your labels, we hope that you'll start reading the labels of what you are actually ingesting, because aspartame is a poisonous substance that they've allowed in our food. And you'd have to say, why would anybody in their right mind, why would any government official allow something to be given to our children? Isn't the government there to help us and to protect our children? And I would like to suggest that if you believe that, you are incredibly naive. There are wicked and evil people out there who really want to hurt children, who really, of course, want to alter their mental perspective and do damage to their minds. And you say, I don't believe that anything like that will exist. And, well, when we get back here in just a moment, we'll try to demonstrate there really are people who feel that way. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This is Open Line Wednesday. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, you don't have to talk about what I'm talking about. We're looking for people to call in, and you can pick the subject, and we'll get your ideas. But we were just saying, why would government officials allow deadly poisons, substances which are known to poison and be carcinogenic and produce brain tumors and produce convulsions and alter the function of the brain and create hyper-irritability, in the children? Why would those be allowed in our food? And I would simply refer you to a book written by Bertrand Russell. And Bertrand Russell is one of those elitists who shaped the world in which we live. And in 1953, he wrote a book entitled The Impact of Science on Society, and I believe it's on page 50 or 51. Don't hold me to that, but we can get to those pages. We have them included in our syllabus entitled The Hidden Agenda, Going into Water Fluoridation. But there on that page, Bertrand Russell says, by the use of diet injections or injunctions, we will so alter the thought process of the children that they will never be able to think independent of what they've been instructed by their schoolmasters. By the use of diet injections and injunctions, what would there be in the diet that would alter the minds of our children? Well, one of those things, of course, would be fluoride or lead, because we're giving large doses of lead to many of our children. Okay, when we put hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water supply, this is a deadly toxin. It's so toxic, you cannot dump it into a river or into the land. You can't even dump it at sea. so they're putting it into our drinking water, and 90% of the communities that actually have fluoridated water have it fluoridated with hydrofluoric silicic acid, and when, of course, you add that to the drinking water, you increase the level of lead in the blood of the children. There's been one study that we talked to Dr. Robert Masters of Dartmouth University, and we talked to him about it, and of course, you increase the level of lead in the blood of blacks almost sixfold. You double it in whites, but almost sixfold in blacks. And the difficulty is, lead is extremely toxic. There's no safe level of lead, you know, in the brain and the blood. And if it leads to raids and violent activity and criminal activity, and that was, of course, what Dr. Roger Masters was studying, was the criminal activity, and of course, noting that there was a definite relationship between the communities where they had hydrofluosilicic acid and the added to the water supply, and of course, the incidence of criminal activity. And the fact that you're not hearing about this through the regular channels is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But we do hope that many of you want to get my interview with Roger Masters or my interviews with Dr. Paul Conant, who covers this in the interviews we've done him. Dr. Paul Conant was a professor of chemistry who retired early so that he could spend his time trying to educate the American people about the fact that we are poisoning our children and poisoning ourselves, for that matter, by adding fluoride to the water. We know that, for instance, the original studies that were done on water fluoridation, and this is covered in a book entitled The Fluoride Deception. In the original studies that were done in Newburgh, New York, and I believe it was Kingsbury, in the area where they, in the city, where they actually fluoridated the water, there was double the incidence of heart disease. Double the incidence of heart disease. Now, why do we have so much more heart disease in the United States than we do in comparable age groups in Great Britain? Why? Because in Great Britain, they won't allow them to fluoridate the water. But nobody will tell you these things, and the doctors really don't know it, and the dentists certainly don't know it. And the people within the American Dental Association and within the American Medical Association who do know this are there, and they've been gotten into key positions not to protect the health but the American people, but to destroy it. And there really are people working within government who know very well that we're poisoning our children, and we're poisoning them with these psychotropic drugs, and we're poisoning them with Ritalin. And we're poisoning them with aspartame, which produces the hyperirritability that justifies giving them the psychotropic drugs and the Ritalin. And nobody is pointing these things out. In other words, the drug companies are creating the problem to justify using their expensive drugs. And if you have a chance, you can actually, get the transcript of the 60-minute program on the last Sunday evening. So you just Google in 60 minutes, and then who killed Rebecca Riley? Who killed Rebecca Riley? And it's really a touching story. And mother now has been incarcerated. She's going to be tried for murdering her daughter. And, of course, she didn't murder her daughter. She did exactly what her doctor had told her to. Her doctor has been suspended from medical practice, but the doctor's not going to be tried for murder. Why? Because if they tried this doctor for murder, they would actually have to expose the fact that the psychotropic drugs that are being used by tens of thousands of psychiatrists across America on children are not cleared or approved by the FDA. They're not safe for the children to be using. And yet they are using them without any idea how much permanent damage they're doing to the brains or minds of those children. And why would you use a drug on children that is not approved for that use? Why? Very simply because a professor at Harvard with a foreign accent that sounds like he came from, well, I don't know where he came from, but he's just saying, why, we just got to treat these children. Why do we have to treat them? When I went through medical school, we weren't treating all these kids for manic depressive disorder because we didn't believe it occurred in children, and I still don't. I think it is being created. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and we would love to hear from you because we do not have a regularly prepared program, and we always start our program in the hopes that people are going to call in and begin to bring up other subjects. And maybe you're concerned about what's happening to the economy. And maybe you're concerned about the possibility of expanding the war in the Middle East and going to war with Iran and what that will mean. Or maybe you're concerned about what's happening in Iraq and all the Iraqi people who have been killed, or all the American soldiers who have been killed or wounded there, or what happens to these soldiers when they're coming home, and what happened to the victims of the soldiers who came home after the first Gulf War, and tens of thousands of them died. Young, healthy people, and tens of thousands of them died. In fact, the figures we have from the Veterans Administration dealing with the veterans of the first Gulf War, remember, there were 695,000 people, as I remember, 697,000 Americans that were sent to the first Gulf War, and of those, we only lost about 100 in battle. But according to the Veterans Administration figures, which you can get off the Internet, or we'll be glad to send to you, if you just write to us or call us and ask for them, almost 80,000, over 10%, almost 80,000 are dead now, 16 years later. Why did they die? Well, the Veterans Administration doesn't know. All they have is just presumably living. Of the 675,000 young men, and of course almost over 10% are dead. Figures that you find very, very difficult to believe, but why should you, when you understand that there really is organized evil in the world, and they have been able to cover up so many of the terrible atrocities that have occurred through the years that you're never going to hear about. Most people have never heard of the Philippine-American War. The Philippine-American War, it was fought from about 1898 till about 1902, during which somewhere between 200,000 and 1.5 million Filipinos were killed. It was concomitant with the Spanish-American War. And the Filipinos did not want to be ruled by the Americans, and they fought back. And of course, we went over there, and between 200,000 and 1.5 million Filipinos died in the Philippine-American War that most Americans have never heard of. Now, if you want to look it up, you can go on the Internet, and fortunately we do have the Internet, and you can Google these things in and look them up to be sure that what we're doing is telling you the truth. But how would you actually conceal the story of the Philippine-American War, you know, that occurred and all the deaths? And we don't know how many were killed. And certainly a lot of them died of disease simply because of the total breakdown of the structure of society as our troops were there forcing American rule on those little brown brothers of ours because we wanted them to certainly do what they were told. And of course, this was really the beginning of this whole idea of America dominating the world. Most Americans look upon the policies of our government as benign and benevolent, and the truth of the matter is, it really isn't true. There is a small group of very wicked and evil people who have a different worldview, and they want America to control the world. And that is why, of course, they got us into the First World War. Why? Why, to bring about the world government. The First World War was fought, the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safe for democracy. Those were the slogans that were used, and of course a lot of people believed them, and a lot of idealistic and very foolish young men went overseas to fight the wicked Huns who were cutting the breasts off of women and cutting the hands off of little Belgian boys, and with such atrocities, why we had to prevent that sort of thing from happening. The wicked Kaiser was behind all of these terrible atrocities. And the stories just weren't true. And just as we hear so many stories today to justify the enemy, anything to get the American people to hate the enemy, whoever it may be, the Germans in the First World War, the Germans and the Japanese during the Second World War, the Muslims, of course, over in Iraq today. Oh, it'll be the Muslims who are in Iran tomorrow if we go to war with Iran. You've got to manipulate people to help get them to hate. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we, amazingly enough, we haven't had any calls yet, and so we do hope that many of you out there will give some.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
For Liberty or 464-8295. And of course, this story of who killed Rebecca Riley, 60 Minutes, this last weekend. There are certainly children all across America who are dying. And there are certainly some of them are dying. And this little girl, Rebecca Riley, she couldn't sleep. Came in, the mother laid her down on the floor next to her bed. And because she was having difficulty getting to sleep, gave her an extra clonidine. and also gave her some Tylenol, some sort of a Tylenol cough medicine or cold medicine. What people do not understand is that many of these Tylenol cold medicines will have hydrocodone in them. Tylenol is extremely toxic. It's been sold to the American people because of something called Reye's syndrome. Now, when I went off to practice medicine in Africa in 1974, the standard pain medicine was something called aspirin with codeine. We gave it, you know, as pain control. When I came back, almost every doctor in America was using Tylenol with codeine. Tylenol is acetaminophen, which, of course, is hepatotoxic. It poisons the liver. Why had everybody switched from aspirin to Tylenol? Well, very simply because there's something called Reye's syndrome, and there may have been half a dozen children every year who had either brain injury or death because of Reye's syndrome. And if you're very, very small, I think probably less than 3 or 4 years of age, and you take aspirin for a temperature, you can get Reye's syndrome. So everybody in America, young people, old people, just switched to aspirin with codeine. It was a great sales job by the Tylenol manufacturers because they can make a lot more money on that than they could, of course, with the aspirin. And so everybody started using Tylenol because 3 or 4 people died every year because of Reye's syndrome. It shows you just how great the drug companies are, and I'll tell you, this is a great thing for the drug companies that sell Tylenol. But, of course, little Rebecca Riley had a dose of Tylenol, cold medicine, just before she died as well. But, of course, that's never, of course, mentioned. Well, let's go to Carol, calling from Kentucky. Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Well, I've got in my lap this wonderful little book. Does Phoebe Courtney ring a bell with you?
I know Phoebe very well. She's a good friend of mine.
Well, this 1971, it is the most incredible little book. She wrote on regional government and fluoridation.
Right.
Well, I wonder where she is these days.
I really don't know what happened to her, but I remember that name very well from the past.
Right.
And she wrote a number of books. She wrote one on America's unelected rulers. And remember that one?
Yeah. And I've read them all.
The council
she wrote a little fold over.
Right.
You know, that you put in a number 10 envelope. And she gave the most incredible, accurate information. She and Dan Smoot, I think they were twins.
Well, of course, Dan Smoot, I had the opportunity of meeting. I never met Phoebe, but in fact, one of these days we'll have to put out the copy of the interview I did with Dan Smoot. Wonderful interview, a wonderful man,
with Phoebe?
Great patriot. And certainly, Dan Smoot was trying to warn the American people almost 50 years ago that the American government was financing communism, had financed
absolutely.
It since its inception. In fact, one of our...
That's exactly what
Phoebe?
Larry McDonald.
Right. Of course, you know what happened to Larry McDonald?
Yeah, sure I do.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important that people understand that most people believe things are as they appear to be, and they're really not.
And
did you understand, of course, we financed communism from its inception.
Hundreds
of billions of dollars simply arming America, restricting the rights of the American
people,
all in the name of fighting the very enemy we'd created.
Well, and of course, I've heard that Larry McDonald, the plane landed, and of course all the evidence would say that was true. Now, you don't know for sure.
Well, of course, we covered this in a little pamphlet we put
out
entitled Capitalist Communist Alliance. We invite people to get it and to evaluate it for themselves. Anything else you want to say there, Carol?
No, I just wonder if, only you print so much, and so many people do. I mean, this has been written in the spiritual connection is, it's Satan.
Absolutely, until people understand that there really are satanic forces, organized satanic forces in our nation, and some of them are working at the highest levels of our government.
That's right.
You can't understand why America is
changing. They're always the most pleasant people.
Amen to that.
Yeah, everybody likes them. The Illuminati, Masonic.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, Carol.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Well, I wonder if we can...
Hold that thought just for a minute.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Nick, who's calling from Washington State. Hi, Nick. Did you have a question or comment? Nick, are you there? Is Nick from Washington State there? Well, I don't know what happened to Nick, so again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And that's me, of course, Carol. I was calling from Kentucky, listening to us back there on our station in Cincinnati. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question about the private wells. If you have a private well, do you still get those poisons like lead and some other poisons you might get from public water?
Well, chances are you wouldn't. What you'd have to do would be to have, of course, your private well tested to see what was in it, but most of your, of course, your private wells, unless you're in a region that was getting industrial waste, would not have the lead in it, would not have the fluoride or the other things we talk about. But certainly, when you have a private well, you could have the water checked for bacterial contamination, or if it's a deep enough well, that's not going to be a problem. And, of course, then you could have it checked for, for chemicals to make sure. But chances are, that it's probably pretty clear. Whereabouts do you live? Are you close to places where they're using a lot of pesticides or insecticides? Or where do you live?
What was that?
Whereabouts do you live?
I live in Pasco.
Is this in Washington?
Yeah, Pasco, Washington.
All right, fine. Do you live on a farm or do you live in a city?
No, I don't live on a farm, but it's just a question I have.
All right, all I can do is suggest you get your water tested. That's the best way to be absolutely certain that there's nothing in it. But chances are it probably is safe. I mean, people have been drinking well water for an awful long time and didn't have the problems that we're having now, where we have municipal water. There's nothing wrong with municipal water. There's nothing even wrong with a little bit of chlorine they put in it. But, of course, when you start adding fluoride to the water, you're really laying yourself open for all sorts of problems. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. And okay, fine. Well, that was Nick calling from Washington State. And again, of course, this is our open line Wednesday when we love to hear what you out there in the listening audience have to think, what to talk about, an issue that you're concerned about. And so if you're out there, give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, if you have something you'd like to talk about. We started our evening talking about the 60-minute program this weekend, Who Killed Rebecca Riley? And I was shocked, I really was, to realize that, at least according to this program, and I suspect it's probably fairly accurate, over 1 million American children are on psychotropic drugs which have not been approved by the FDA for use with children. They've been approved for use with adults, but they are not been approved for use with children. And doctors all across America have been talked into giving to this children, first of all, because when a child is hyper-irritable, which an awful lot of children are, even normally, as they go through the terrible twos, but certainly even, of course, if it's not that, if they are taking anything with MSG in it, if they're taking anything with aspartame in it, it will produce a attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and these children become hyperactive and unruly, and of course extremely difficult to manage. And there's so much so much evidence and so many papers been written on this, but of course the average doctor is not allowed to know that, and the people who manufacture these terribly toxic drugs are concealing these facts from the American people. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling from Idaho, and again our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tony, how are you doing?
Well, how are you doing, Dr. Stan?
Hey, it's good to hear from you, Tony.
Well, I thought I'd better check in. It's been a while.
Well, tell us what's going on. How's life treating up there?
Fair to Midland.
All right, fine.
But actually, my wife and I are down here for 10 days right now.
All right, fine. Well, it's good to know that you're down here. Tony used to live in our area and moved up to Spokane. And so is life treating you fairly well?
Well, like I said, I don't have a whole lot to complain about. You know, God's been very good to us. And, you know, we've had to endure our trials and tribulations like everybody. But maybe we have a little bit more than some. Maybe not as much as others.
Okay, fine. Was there anything you'd like to talk about this evening? Call to say hello.
Well, yes. Just so you know, I'm alive and kicking. You know, I do listen on the Internet at least 3 or 4 times a week. You know, I don't call in a whole lot because most of the listening I can do up there is on the Internet. But, you know, I listen all the time and I keep up with what's going on. But one of the things I was doing yesterday... surfing around different websites about 911, and there's about 28 different videos right now on 911. I'm sure you're aware of a lot of them. It's so blatantly obvious that the official story is nothing but a fabrication.
Well, of course, but that's what they did with the Gulf of Tonkin. They lied to us so they could get us into Vietnam so they could kill 58,000 of our kids. They lied to us about the truth about Pearl Harbor because I have the diary of Secretary of War Stimson and the fact, of course, that FDR had told them a few days beforehand the attack was coming, and the only question was how we were going to get into the war and get the Japanese to fire the first shot. We even have copies of the front page of the Hilo newspaper in Hilo, Hawaii, saying, you know, the attack will probably come within a week, and that's true. A week before, the headline in Hawaii said, the attack is coming, you know, probably very, very soon, the next weekend. And yet, of course, the American people honestly believe, because they've been told over and over again, that we had no idea the attack was coming on Pearl Harbor, and nobody could believe that we would have left those 3,000 boys there to die, and of course they would. They needed an excuse to get us into the war, and many people justify that saying, well, we had to stop the wicked Adolf Hitler, though, because after all, we needed an excuse to get the American people into the war. We had to rally them behind the government, and so even though those boys died, it was well worthwhile. But those people will never point out the fact that it was our corporations and our banks who were financing Adolf Hitler and building up his war machine for World War II. That's the point that nobody ever wants to talk about. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, you've talked about Professor Anthony Sutton and Wall Street and the rise of Hitler, you know, and that's all fairly evident, Prescott Bush's role, and et cetera. But you might not believe this, but up in the great state of Idaho, it's just about impossible to talk to anyone who doesn't believe that the whole 911 thing was a fabrication. Nobody believes it up there.
Well, I'm glad to know that. At least there's some sanity somewhere in the country.
Well, I'm telling you, I talk to a lot of just normal-minded, you know, people that don't get too involved in anything up there. And, I mean, they're literally ready to take up arms. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, the people up there are, like, real upset. The loose change video up there is just like, you know, old history to most people. I mean, people up there in the Spokane area all the way up to Coeur d'Alene, at least the ones I've been talking to, they're pretty well informed. And even with the lack of media up there, and I believe it's because of the Internet. But I've talked to you about this before. And I really do believe that eventually this whole 911 thing is going to be made public. I mean, and some of these 28 videos are going to be shown. For example, there's the CNN guy standing in front of the Pentagon when the explosion took place saying, you know, there's no plane here. We don't know what happened. There was an explosion. You know, live feed from CNN. You know, there's no plane there. And, on and on, you know. I really feel that this is going to be Colonel Mandel House's conclusion to Philip Drew Administrator. And maybe I'd kind of like you maybe to comment on that.
Well, of course, the story of Colonel Edmund Mandel House was the man who controlled both Woodrow Wilson and...
In fact, Stan, my time is a little short, so I'm going to listen to your comment on the air, and I just want to say it's always a blessing to hear from you. And, you know, we love you and we're, and you guys and Barbara are always in our prayers.
God bless, and thanks. So good to hear from you, Tony. Give my best to you. Okay. Well, anyway, this is that was Tony. I used to live here in Santa Cruz, moved up into the Spokane area. Anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Tony's referring to a book that was written, back in 1912. And the book was called Philip Drew Administrator. It was written by a man named Colonel Edward Bandel House, who was an evil little man. He was the man who actually controlled Woodrow Wilson and controlled Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was deeply involved in the occult. And those of you who read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will recall that we referred to Colonel House and the fact that he had the ability to ooze ideas into people's minds. That's ooze, O-O-Z-E. In fact, that was the term that is used in one of the books we have that was written back in the 1920s, or late 1919, by somebody who knew Colonel House, and the way he was able to control people's minds. But in his book, of course, Philip Drew Administrator, he wrote it in 1912, and the original manuscript is back at the Sterling Library at Yale, and actually, I went back to Yale, and I actually sat there and read many of the pages, but I have the book, and we actually carry the book here at Radio Liberty. And the whole idea was there was a lieutenant colonel, who, of course, was an Army lieutenant colonel, who became disillusioned with the Army and eventually led a revolt against the government. But the book tells you how you can establish a dictatorship in America. And step by step, exactly the things that are going on were laid out in this book written in 1912. And, of course, eventually why Philip Drew Administrator leads a coup against the government and establishes this wonderful new socialist government that Colonel House and his fellow occultists wanted. And the book is simply fiction. He had written it over a couple of weekends. The book was written anonymously, so that no one would know who had written it. But, of course, if you read the book through, he left little clues like, saying to somebody, well, I'll meet you at Mandel House. Well, of course, his name was Edward Mandel House. And certainly he was one of the key and pivotal figures in the world we live in today. But none of this makes sense unless you understand he was deeply involved in the occult. He had supernatural powers, and he was able to control both Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. And, of course, his papers are back at Yale University. They were to be released in 1970, 50 years after they were transferred to Sterling, to the library there. And, of course, I believe it was Time Warner came in, bought the right to the papers so they could publish them, and then refused to publish them. But they're copyrighted, so they couldn't ever be copied and distributed, because they tell you so much about this truly evil, evil little man. But his whole plan was that one day there would be a military coup and a dictatorship in America. The book Philip Drew Administrator is available from Radio Liberty. Give us a call if you'd like to get it. 1-800-544-8927. We've got Connie calling from Washington. We had Daniel, but I think we lost Daniel. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Connie, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr.
Okay, well, what part of Washington do you live in?
I live in the Tri-Cities in Kennewick,
Washington. Okay, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I know you have an orthopedic background, I believe, and it's just a question about the my arthritic knee. I take hyaluronic acid, and in fact, I order Bill Sardi's products. I think you've had him on.
I have. Does it help you?
Yes, it does. It certainly does.
I'm glad. I know my wife is taking it for arthritis in her thumb, and she claims it really does help. And hyaluronic acid is a special type of product that, ordinarily the body produces hyaluronic acid, and that is why the joint fluid in the knee or various joints are so viscous. Well, anyway, I'm glad to hear it's helping you.
Yes. My question was my orthopedic doctor is suggesting I take a series of three SynDisc injections, and I wonder what your opinion is if that's natural.
Well, now, what is he going to put in there? What is he going to inject?
He terms it SynDisc, and I guess it's... I don't actually know. I guess that's...
No, it's one of these new products. I will tell you, this is something entirely new. When I was practicing, this is just coming on the market, and of course it's been used since then. I really wouldn't even want to comment on it.
Sure.
But certainly you're just going to have to decide if you're having enough pain there, that of course you want to go ahead and take the shots.
Yes.
I've been told that some of these products really do help.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we used to use cortisone shots. I think that probably these other things are far better for you than the cortisone we used to use, but I wouldn't want to comment if I didn't know.
No, that's fine. I just wondered.
All right, fine. Well, I mean, how incapacitated are you with the knee?
It's not really too bad. It's just my left knee, and with the products that I'm taking from Bill Sardi, it really makes a difference if I take enough.
Well, you know, I certainly wouldn't rush into having anything done. In other words, if you're having trouble, get something done. If you're not having any trouble, leave well enough alone.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay, Connie. Anything else you'd like to ask?
No, just thank you so much for your ministry. And I'm hoping I can hear you in Texas. We're moving to Texas.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, you can get us there shortwave or internet.
Or we
do have a 24-hour-a-day satellite feed between Radio Liberty and the Power Hour, Joyce Riley. So you can get us one of those ways for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Okay, let's go to Dee, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Dee. How are you doing?
Your point earlier in the hour about aspartame and chewing gums is well taken. I've been reading labels all summer long since I was diagnosed with periodontal disease, and I was looking for something that would help with that. And apparently xylitol is a safe and efficacious additive, but aspartame certainly is not.
That's right. I really don't know xylitol, but I will tell you that I don't take anything with aspartame or MSG in it.
Yeah, it makes you almost a believer in conspiracy theories because a lot of the products that would not require it have aspartame in it almost gratuitously if you read down the label. I'm aware of two, however, which do not. And I wouldn't say that Trident as a gum is a dependable brand, but they do have two flavors, the Green Apple Fusion and the White Cinnamon Tingle. Neither one of those has aspartame on the labeling. I'm almost wondering if it's a misprint, though, because most of their line does list aspartame as an ingredient.
I really can't tell you, but apparently you can, leave these things off if there's not too much in it. I don't know how much you have to have there before you put it on. But I really wouldn't want to comment on it because I don't know. But
well,
we do know that many of the Wrigley's gums do have it, and if you read the labels, you'll find it. And they know how deadly it is, and they're putting it in anyway, which is unconscionable in my estimation.
It's amazing. It's almost 100% of the Wrigley gums all the way down the product line. Another thing that was interesting, too, they mentioned that the gold standard in alternative medicine for periodontal disease is coenzyme Q10. And I would like to make a public medical hypothesis right here and now that we know that statin drugs drive down coenzyme Q10 status, and I would predict that you're going to see a epidemic of periodontal disease among statin drug users.
All right, for our listeners out there, what Dee is mentioning is the fact that if you take your statin drugs, I mean, you certainly should be taking coenzyme Q10 because it actually suppresses the coenzyme Q10 levels in the body. And, of course, many of these people then will get muscle pains and they'll get congestive heart failure. And the doctor says, you've got congestive heart failure. We're going to have to treat that. Well, of course, the treatment for it would either be take CoQ10 or get off your statin drugs, which probably aren't doing that much good anyway, because you need cholesterol to create your sex hormones. You need cholesterol for your brain to function right. You feel terrible if you don't have an adequate level of cholesterol. The human body has a wonderful ability to regulate things, and certainly we get some cholesterol from our diet, but a great deal of the cholesterol in our body is manufactured by our liver, and the fact that we're poisoning the liver to suppress it to unreasonable low levels. And of course, I will tell you that if you read the statistics for people, you know, who die, and you from heart disease, you'll find out that at least half of them had normal cholesterol levels. And of course, if you've never had a previous heart attack or stroke, and you take statins, they don't do a bit of good. The large statistics show it does not prevent heart attacks or it does not prevent strokes in people who've never had a previous heart attack or strokes. And if you have, well, it's a very, very small improvement, probably based upon the anti-inflammatory effect of the statins rather than lowering the cholesterol. Anything else you want to say, Dee?
That'll do it. Your points are well taken, as are Bill Sardi's. Knowledge of Health is a great place to go for information on that matter.
That's knowledgeofhealth.com, Bill Sardi's website. We certainly... Bye-bye. Good night. Well, let's go to Daniel from California. Hi, Daniel. What part of California you live in?
Well, I'm down here in South in Los Angeles County in Bellflower.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Okay. Well, I had a question. Remember with the amendment that was passed that gave a corporation the status of a person or an individual? I was trying to remember the date in that, and I was looking through my Constitution, and I don't know, I guess I'm a little tired, but I was wondering about that. What date that was? And which
I really can't tell you. I have no idea.
But you're familiar with that, you know.
No, I'm really not. Certainly, you do not want to become a corporation. And certainly, because, of course, when you become a corporation, you become answerable to the government's laws. As a citizen of the United States, you have certain rights. As a corporation, you have no rights at all.
Well, yeah, it's a very strange commercial kind of thing going on there.
Right, in fact, so you're better off. We had actually had a 501c3 corporation at one time, and we gave it up because we didn't want to be put into that status. And specifically, when you have a 501c3, you can be restricted in what you say and what you do. And that's
under
why churches should not have one.
Well, that's probably a good idea. I mean, I think that the trust, you have to protect yourself in certain ways, but I think that's very strange that they, you know, that should be repealed.
I agree with you. Okay, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, just about the, you know, research done on the these tax-exempt foundations and that hold these enormous trillions of dollars in liquid accounts and, you know, they fund all these, like, other things that they say that are subversive to the United States of America. For instance, you know, in 1954, when they did that Reif Committee and investigated the tax-exempt foundations. And, I mean, that's basically, I just wanted to say in general that the main problem in our country is a law enforcement problem. We're not enforcing the law when it comes to our borders or our monetary system. We're not supposed to have this type of the federal monopoly corporation.
We're certainly not. And, look, we're going to have to let you go, but thanks very much for calling, Daniel. Good to hear from you.
Okay, I just wanted to get your feedback on, I will ask you that question and get your feedback on a website. Some of the topics at the top of my website, SaveAmericaNow.com.
All right, fine. We'll take a look at it, and thanks very much, Mike.
I'd appreciate that, Doctor, and thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye, Daniel. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and I think we can have time for maybe one more quick call with Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Mike from Santa Cruz. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, when Tony called, he was talking about a reporter standing in front of the Pentagon. That was Jamie McIntyre on the day of 9/11, before the collapse of that part of the Pentagon. Jamie McIntyre was standing there with his camera crew talking about the damage from whatever it was that hit the Pentagon. Jamie McIntyre was saying on the air, live, for all the world to watch, that no airplane had struck the Pentagon.
Well, of course, but it doesn't matter, of course, how illogical something is. The government has decreed that there was a plane, It simply all folded up and went into the building there, and all disappeared. The engines disappeared. The fuselage disappeared. The wings disappeared. The plane disappeared. And you're either going to believe your lying eyes or you're going to believe what they tell you.
Well, J.E. McIntyre was our eyewitness on the spot. Cameras videotaped the whole thing for all the world to watch from now till whenever.
Yeah,
and the damage to the building was only a 16-foot or so diameter hole. And he gave us the truth. And in the following years, I'm trying to recall all the events, but he was even forced to recant that story in some number of years later, 3 or 4 years later. But it's out there. It's in the documentaries on 911 for people to watch. And it's also on anybody's original footage that happened to be taping that day.
All right, thanks very much, Mike.
A government that would do that to us, that would kill that many people on their own soil for all the world to see with the cameras rolling. You know, they sent a second plane in after he was watching those towers being struck. The psychological manipulation, the devastation that was perpetrated on us that day, not just for the people that died, but for the people who watched it happening. This is the government that's perpetrating these things with the drugs and the fluoride and all this upon us. So people believe it. It's happening. They're doing it to us.
God bless, Mike, and thanks very much.
Ben.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening and you agree that we are involved in a spiritual battle, and there really is organized evil out there, there really are demonic groups and demonic organizations, and of course they're moving us towards a one-world government, the destruction of Christianity, and of course the one-world leader. Well, if you agree and you'd like to become part of our team, our number is 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar we're going to be having on the 28th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the north shore of Monterey Bay, a beautiful area to visit this time of year. And so if you'd like to, of course, you can come down or come, we're going to have a reservation because we'll be serving lunch. And believe me, we're going to start early in the morning and go until late in the evening, and I think it'll be a fascinating time. So then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope that many of you will want to watch my talk on the Forbidden Secret, which, of course, takes you into the background of the secret that has been passed down through the secret societies for a period of 5,000 years. Did you ever wonder how they were able to build the pyramids? Did you ever wonder how they were able to create the Colossus of Rhodes or so many of the other great structures of ancient times, or certainly where the stonemasons got the knowledge to build the great cathedrals of Europe with those vaulted ceilings? Did you ever wonder where Pythagoras got the idea? A square plus B square equals C square? Well, you'll certainly want to see my talk, Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, the award-winning DVDs on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, on the Riddles in Stone, the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the Internet. Of course, we only do 5 hours live, but some of the repeat programs. RadioLiberty.com. Listen, tell others to listen. And then pray for Radio Liberty, please. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, this hour we're hoping to have with us Bill Sneblin. And Bill has led a fascinating life, and he's been involved in many occult organizations. I certainly was involved in Masonry and was involved with the Illuminist sect. He was certainly into Satanism, and then he eventually became a Christian. And of course, in his with One Accord ministry, he's reaching people all across America. In fact, if you get some of the videos that Chris Pinto has put out, the Riddles in Stone, as I remember, that you'll actually see interviews with Bill Sneblin there, talking about his experience with the satanic societies, not imaginary, but really very real. So, certainly, hi Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, great to be here.
Well, fine. So why don't you, just for our listeners who may not know who you are, just give a brief rundown of how it is that you came to be a Christian, because you certainly had a lot of experience in various occult organizations before you became a Christian, didn't you?
Yes, yes. Well, I was originally wanting very much to serve God and be a priest. I was raised Catholic and went into the Catholic seminary, and there a priest, professor, priest, talked to me about what today would he call a New Age doctrine, the idea that if the way Christ got his ability to do the miracles he did was because he went to the Far East and studied the occult, studied with lamas and gurus and all of that stuff. And so if I wanted to be like Christ, which of course, you know, you would think that would be the goal of every Christian, I had to study the occult. And so back in 1968, I started studying the occult. And I started getting into ESP and psychic phenomena and ultimately witchcraft. And became a witch high priest, studied under the Grand Druid of North America. You know, we run around the block here, and ended up this Grand Druid, who is, you know, the highest ranking druid in North America, he's the one who suggested I join the Masons. So when I had my opportunity, I met a fellow in the coven, one of the covens, and his dad was an officer in the lodge locally there, and I ended up becoming a Mason. Went up through Scottish Rite, New York Rite, the Shrine, Order of the Eastern Star, the whole bit, you know. And at the same time, I was still studying the occult and got involved in both the Church of Satan and later on Hardcore Satanism, and there is, of course, a big difference there between the two. And from there, I ended up getting involved in some very black magic, very dark stuff, and I, of course, was invited to join the Illuminati, where I was mentored by Manly P. Hall, and learned even more about how twisted their plans are for the world. And at that point is when God started dealing with me, because what happened was is I was in the midst of all of these dark things, and I had written a check to the Church of Satan, my annual dues, and when the check came back from the bank, some lady be written on the check, "I'll be praying for you in the name of Jesus." And at that moment, you know, my life changed. It not immediately, because I spent 5 years as a Mormon. But then finally, I got born again in 1984, and now I'm serving Jesus. So that's the very short version.
Well, of course, Bill has really had a whirlwind experience. Now he worked for a time with our friend Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry, and then eventually he went off on his own, and he has a ministry. It's on the East Coast of it. He's written extensively. We carry some of his books and some of his videos, and he lectures, travels, certainly with the Prophecy Club, but always a fascinating guest. And we'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sneblin, talking about what's really going on in the world today. Well, Bill, of course, certainly as we see this whole scenario unfolding, Certainly one of the things that I believe is that these, all of these occult organizations, whether it be the Masons or whether it would be the New Age or so many of these satanic or Illuminist groups, really all want to bring about this one world order, destroy Christianity, and of course install a new world leader. Was this your impression when you were working with these groups?
Oh, it was more than my impression. It was totally what their agenda was. They had no illusions about it. That was what they wanted to do. They wished to, you know, in fact, many people don't realize that Masonry itself, one of their founding principles was a hatred of the clergy and a hatred of Christianity. The idea of the unique claims of Jesus Christ is what they hate. And so, and the Illuminists carry that through. Now, mind you, a lot of Masons don't know that that's one of the founding principles of Freemasonry, but it in fact is. And so, yes, they want to get rid of the idea of national sovereignty. They want to get rid of the idea of freedom of religion, and they want to just institute their own one-world religion, which ultimately will, of course, feature their master, the Antichrist, as the leader.
Well, because I just got a letter the other day from one of our people I know who's a Gnostic. Did you? And he talks, of course, about the Gnostic beliefs. Did you ever run into any Gnosticism in your travels into the occult?
Well, yes, I was. I was, in fact, a bishop in the Gnostic Catholic Church, and we performed the Gnostic Mass every weekend during that period in our lives. And yeah, Gnosticism is really at the root of almost all these New Age and occult religions, because the word, of course, Gnostic comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And the idea is that you have this secret knowledge, and that is what saves you. And so whenever you have a group, like, say, for example, the Freemasons or the Mormons or witches, all of which have these secret oaths that you must take and these blood-curdling initiatic vows and ordeals you must go through in order to achieve knowledge that's not available, supposedly, to the average person on the street. And this is, in fact, Gnosticism. Whereas, as Jesus, of course, said, you know, that his knowledge is available to all who come. You know, you don't have to swear some blood oath or whatever to get the knowledge that he has. All you have to do is accept him in faith, you know. But it's two very different things. And, of course, Gnosticism is the most ancient rival to Christianity. The two religions kind of grew up alongside of each other in the first and second century. And, of course, Gnosticism...
Hold that stuff right there, would you, Bill,
sure.
Please?
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Schnevelin. And Bill has had a great deal of experience with the various occult groups. In fact, at one time he was a priest in the Gnostic Church. And, of course, one of the things that this gentleman who had written to me recently was a Gnostic, very nice gentleman, but he, of course, rejects Christianity, has embraced the Gnostic religion. And he says that you know that it's true because... I mean, when you are a Gnostic, of course, you will see this light that comes from another dimension. I think that was the term that he used. Mm-hmm. This comes from another dimension. When you were in the Gnosticism, did you ever hear people talking about this experience, this supernatural experience of a bright light that comes from this other dimension?
Oh, of course, yes. This is what they call enlightenment. And it basically is the light of Lucifer. But, of course, you aren't told that up front. But, yes, I had several, you know, visionary experiences like that, one of which, in fact, was excruciatingly painful. When I was taken over the abyss, as they say in this kind of religion, and actually initiated into the Luciferian initiation, that's when you receive this light, quote-unquote. And, of course, people don't bother to ask, which light is it? Because, of course, we're told in the Bible that Lucifer can appear as an angel of light. And that's what the very name means, you know, light bringer, dawn star, bright and shining one. So light doesn't mean it's good. Light, you have to measure that light by the standards of the Bible. And, yes, I've had several light-type experiences during my period of Gnosticism. I crave those things. But, of course, they end up destroying your mind. They end up destroying your soul and your free will, ultimately.
All right, fine. Well, I think that it's so important that people understand that there really are all these occult organizations out there. And Gnosticism is really the basis of modern-day Masonry, is the basis of the New Age, is the basis of the theosophy of Rosicrucianism. And most people really have no idea really what's going on today, that there really are not one but many secret societies out there that are all founded in the occult. And so many people will talk about the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, what they don't understand is the Council on Foreign Relations is really a front for a secret society created by Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. But Cecil Rhodes himself was a Mason, and the people who surrounded him were all, or almost all, involved in the occult. Until people understand that, and the whole idea of the Council on Foreign Relations is to bring a world government. And of course, this is really what the very foundation is of all the occult organizations, to bring about this world government. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's sort of the web that holds all these different groups together. And that's why, for example, in Masonry, one of the first key questions you are asked is, what do you most desire? And you're prompted to say, light. And of course, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of this supposed quest for light. And in my case, it took me all the way up to 90th degree in Continental Masonry, which most people don't even know exists. And all of these different groups, whether it's the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission, they're all part of this web. And ultimately, at the top of the web is of course, Lucifer. And he's the one who pulls the strings. But of course, he refuses to acknowledge that God is ultimately in control of the flow of history. And he's, meaning the devil, is egotistical enough to think he can overthrow God. But of course, that's an illusion, and I now know that.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is reading Gnostics literature and talking to Gnostics. They honestly believe that they are worshiping the true God. And the God that we are worship is a usurper. He's not a very smart God. But the God that they worship is the true God, who, of course, will give them eternal blessing. And it's so difficult, I think, for Christians to believe that there is another God. Now, of course, we say there's one God, and I believe that. But these people believe that there's another God and that they're worshiping the right God and that we're worshiping the wrong one. How do you approach people like that who are so convinced that their God, Lucifer, is the real God who is going to reward them with great power and riches for following him?
Well, it's a challenge for someone who's at that level of deception. But really, the bottom thing is you've got to kind of back up and pray for them, number one. That kind of goes without saying, because when they're at that level, they're so deceived. It's like Paul says in his epistles that these people are blinded by the light of the God of this world to the gospel of Christ. So that's number one. But number two, I always tell people that the truth can always stand up against error. And I was having, oddly enough, an internet messaging dialogue the other day with a Gnostic. And I just explained to him, and it kind of floored him. I said, you know, listen, you are seeking knowledge. You are seeking wisdom. Those are the two big things, of course. And I said, in the book of Colossians, which, by the way, the book of Colossians is written as an apologetic, as an answer to the Gnostics. And it's very good as a New Age, if you will, anti-New Age weapon to this day. But in there it says in the second chapter that in Christ dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I just share with you, I said, I used to be a Gnostic, and I never knew half of what I know now. The wisdom I have now is so much more priceless and so much more wonderful than the supposed wisdom I had as a Gnostic and as an esotericist, that it's not even funny. I mean, there's no comparison. Because if you have Christ, you have all wisdom, you have all knowledge, it's just there, and he will give it to you as you need it, as you serve him. But you see, these Gnostics are too proudful. They don't want that. They instead think they have to grab this knowledge and steal it, kind of like Prometheus stole fire from the gods. And of course, we know what happened. That's the whole impulse all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve wanted to eat from the tree of the knowledge, which is, of course, gnosis, of good and evil.
And of course, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you can become as gods, and you shall never die. And those are the two things that, of course, part of the occult belief today. You can become God.
Oh, yeah.
You will never die. And, of course, the significant thing is that sometimes people get into this and they do get great power. They do get great knowledge, and they do get great rewards. And of course, many times they can have a significant impact on what's going on in the world. But it's not their influence. It's the influence of the spirit of darkness that's taken over them. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the power you may get is very much illusory, but yes, it is there, and for a while it is demonstrable. But unfortunately, it's not really your power; it's the devil's power. And I know from my personal experience that when you get into that kind of a deal with him, he will definitely extract a terrible price for you from you in exchange for the power he's supposedly giving you. So it's not worth the bargain.
Well, you know, we carry a wonderful DVD. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're put out by Pastor Joe Schimmel, but they're called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And there's a 3-hour, 4-hour, and 10-hour version of it going into the people in the music industry, the rock and roll, and then, of course, the hard metal rock musicians. And many of them, of course, have actually made a deal with the devil. They have sold their souls. And they became great rock stars. They had a tremendous amount of money and fame and prosperity. But it's amazing how many of them died young, and, of course, they paid a terrible price for what they had received from the devil. People find it difficult to believe that this could be really going on in the world today, that the devil is real. He is not imaginary. He offers power. He has power. But, of course, when he gives it to you, why, of course, you demand something in return. Do you know at all about these DVDs? Have you ever heard of
them? Yes, in fact, oddly enough, when I was on the last Prophecy Club tour, someone gave me a set. But I haven't had time. Obviously, it's a lot of material. I haven't had the time yet to listen to them. But, yes, it sounds pretty much like the same information that I'm aware of. They are, in fact, you know, extremely informative. And, yeah, a lot of these guys that were into heavy rock did literally make a deal with the devil, and they did, in fact, you know, end up, like, you know, as we know from history, many of them ended up dying very horrible deaths and involved with the occult up to their eyeballs, and it's just not a good thing.
Yeah, and of course, what people, of course, find this difficult to believe it, that you'll find these same people in our universities. You'll find them working in industry. You'll find them working in government. You'll find them working in the military. And, of course, these people who have given themselves over to the dark side. And that's one way to get ahead in this world, but you'll pay a terrible price for it, that's for certain.
Yes, yes. Well, as I like to tell people, the retirement plan is awful. Because you end up in hell, and you end up even toward the end of your... I mean, you look at many of these people. I mean, even those famous occultists of the early part of the 20th century, Aleister Crowley, I mean, he ended up this broken, lonely old man who was living on nothing but heroin and poached eggs, living in a little house next to a cemetery in England. I mean, he died virtually alone. And you know, and I'm sure he's probably in hell. And that's what happens to a lot of these people. They're either drug addicts, or they blow their brains out, or they drown in their own vomit. Or, I mean, it's just not a good end. And,
well, you know, because Crowley at one time must have had a fair amount of money, because didn't he actually buy a house or have a house there on Loch Ness there in Scotland?
Oh, yes, Boleskine Manor. And, well, see, his father was a former brewmeister. He ran a brewery called Crowley's Ales, and then he got saved, oddly enough, for the Plymouth Brethren, which are a very strict fundamentalist Christian sect. And he sold the brewery because he felt it was evil to be a Christian do that, and he used the money to become a traveling preacher. And so he traveled all over England and preached the gospel. And when he died, of course, Crowley got his money because he was his only child.
And so that's how he had this place there. In fact, I remember after he had sold it, apparently one of the famous, I forgot which one it was, but one of the famous musicians had actually bought the house because, of course, he felt there might be power there, since Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, had lived there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. And, Chris, so many of the things that are going on today you can't understand unless you understand they have supernatural ramifications. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Sneblin. And, you know, Bill, I sometimes wonder if some of these things, certainly I'm firmly convinced that the UFO phenomenon is simply a supernatural manifestation of beings from another dimension. Do you think that any of these stories we hear about the monsters in the lakes or the abominable snowmen or these things, are these possibly supernatural manifestations of the demonic, or do you think it's people with simply an overactive imagination?
No, well, I mean, I think there's always an element of being a hoaxer and whatnot, you know, in some of these. But I think a lot of them, whether you're talking about, you know, Loch Ness type monsters, or whether you're talking about UFOs, alien abductions, or crop circles, I think a certain amount of them are in fact genuine phenomena. But of course, they are a phenomenon from the evil side, and that's the problem. Is what I tell people is this: it's very simple. You look at the messages being presented, and there is a religion involved with these UFO people, for example. I mean, and there's many different groups. You know, we've of course seen the one that ended so tragically, the Heaven's Gate group out there in California. But there are many of them. The Astara Command is one. The Raelians are another. And all of these groups present a gospel, and it's a gospel in which the exclusivity of the claims of Christ are denied. It's a gospel where there's no need for salvation. We're all just wonderful. And the space brothers are going to come down. And, in fact, Jesus is an alien. Did you know that? And so Jesus is going to come in a UFO and come down here and save us all. And we don't have to worry about repenting because we're just fine. All we have to do is follow the new alien Jesus. And see, that's how it's going to work. And I tell people, you measure their message against the message of the Bible, and it doesn't measure up. And I tell people the Bible has got to be the ultimate source of spiritual truth. And if it doesn't measure up to that, you can feel free to just toss it. And so many of these groups, you know, the message they present is in fact demonic. It's deception, and it's going to draw them straight down to hell.
And I really think, of course, really what's so amazing about these, what's going on today, is how they can confuse the minds of the American people. And one of the greatest things is this idea that the government is covering up the truth about these UFOs because they don't want the American people to know about the alien people who come down here and worked out some sort of a deal with the government. So the government is covering up the existence of the aliens. And, of course, by focusing our attention on the idea that the UFOs are a manifestation of another galaxy or another universe, what they're doing is really covering up the existence of the other dimension, the demonic dimension here in the United States. Have you noticed how cleverly they focus our attention on the idea these are aliens and mm-hmm. almost never mention the fact that they are really, in my estimation, manifestations of the demonic realm of the other dimension here on Earth?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a very good bit of sleight of hand, and of course, Hollywood helps with all that because they keep promoting all these science fiction films that talk about aliens and UFOs and they don't really explore the spiritual ramifications of all this. And so you're quite right. It is leading up to one possible way in which the deception could be orchestrated, and I think it's a very real one.
All right, fine. In fact, you've actually written about that, haven't you, Bill?
Well, yes, I have a book.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and while we were off the air, we were really talking about the UFOs. Now, a lot of people, when we talk about UFOs, they sort of shrug and they say, well, that's crazy talk. But I'm firmly convinced that there are UFOs, and there are these beings, because they've been described, and they are certainly have been described by many, many people. And all of the descriptions are very, very similar. So there's something there. Of course, what they were being told by the controlled media is they're simply coming from another dimension, another universe? Are there aliens coming to Earth? And the reason the government is covering this up, the UFO story, is they don't want the American people to panic, or they don't want to know about the fact that our government has made some sort of a deal with these aliens. Well, I don't believe that for at all. I believe that this is all really an effort to throw us off the track. So we will not recognize that these are simply an extension, a manifestation of the other spiritual dimension, which is not imaginary, but is really very real. And Bill has written a book about that, or a pamphlet about it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you have written in that?
Well, yes, we have a book, Space Invaders, 118 pages. It's on our website. That is the book. We also have a couple of videos, or DVDs, and one of them, it's called The Sons of God and the Antichrist. And in there, it's interesting you mentioned the idea of the commonality, how many people report the same things about aliens and alien abductions. The interesting thing is, as I document in this video, this man, Aleister Crowley, we were talking about, way back 90 years ago, in 1918, he did a magical working. It was called the Almantra working in Central Park West. And he called up a being from another dimension at that time that identified itself as Lam, L-A-M. And he drew a picture of that being. Now, mind you, this is in 1918. And we show this on the DVD. And if you look at this being that he drew, and you compare it to these little gray aliens that are so famous now, you know, they were in Close Encounters of the Third Kind and, you know, all these different films and whatnot, Roswell. And actually, they look identical to this Lam, who is supposedly a demonic being from another dimension. Now, I find that very intriguing because there is a high correlation, which we document in the film, between people who are involved in the occult and people who have been visited by UFOs. There's not a complete correlation, but it's a very strong one. And I think that is highly suggestive. So in this movie, in the DVD and book, we talk about this and how this can be deceptive and how people can place their faith in the Space Brothers and not realize that they misplaced that faith. These beings are actually fallen angels or demons, and it's going to lead them down the primrose path to hell instead of toward faith in Christ.
And really, it is such a clever technique that they use in the media today. And then, of course, whenever they talk about it, they're talking about aliens. And they know they're not aliens. They know they're demonic beings. But they don't want the average American to understand that there truly is a spiritual dimension to everything going on today. That the UFOs are a manifestation, a supernatural manifestation of the other dimension. But, of course, the one thing they have to do is convince us this doesn't exist. That, of course, witchcraft, oh, yes, there's witchcraft, but, of course, it's all imaginary. Their power is imaginary, and I would like to suggest the power is not imaginary. It's very real, because you're tapping into the power of the beings from the other dimension. Did you ever tap into that power with your witch, Bill?
Oh, yes. every full moon. and yeah, I totally agree. It is real, but the difference is that depending on whom you speak with, they will tell you, oh, this is power from nature, it's power from within ourselves, or it's intrinsic power that our soul can bring forth. And of course, you know, that isn't true, because there's only two sources of spiritual power, either from Yahweh God, who's the Lord of the universe, or else it is coming from the devil. And since most of these occultists and most of these magicians, and virtually all of them, refuse to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're doing things that are forbidden by the Bible, I mean, logic lets us know that we are, in fact, talking about people who get their power from demons. But yes, this power is very real. We use it to heal people. We would use it to, rarely, but we would use it to curse people. We would use it to, like, for example, materialize things out of thin air. I mean, and every now and then this would actually work. This stuff really does work. It didn't work often. And if it didn't work, we'd just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, it didn't work this time.
Now, of course, we have a wonderful four-tape set with interviews with Joanna Michelson, who really, of course, was into this and into the faith healing and saw so many amazing and truly supernatural healings, which she thought were from God. But of course, they really weren't. They were from the other dark side. Well, when we get back, we'll welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We've got Matt calling in from Capitola. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Dr. Stan.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest?
I don't have any questions. I have a new experience with the Lord that I'd like to share with everybody.
All right, go ahead.
And one of the things is that I've been a long-time Christian, since I was 12, and my newest thing lately is I've re-found the Lord again, and He has done the most amazing things in my life, and I am so proud of finding Him again. And I just want to say to the listeners that man, it's like, I was baptized, and I didn't do my work in the Bible church. I basically showed up on Sunday. I sat in the back of the pew for years, and I didn't get involved. I listened to what the preacher had to say every Sunday, and then I went to work, and I lived my week without the Lord. And I am so thankful. Since I've been in a Bible-based church with the fellowship of the body of Christ, and that's what I have found, is that the body of Christ is being involved with other Christians and talking to them and being involved with them. And it has made a huge difference in my life.
Well, I'm so glad, Matt, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And thank you so very much for calling. And I'm just glad that, Chris, you are involved. And remember, you've got to rely upon the Lord and let Him direct your life rather than trying to do it on your own. And He'll do a lot better job than you ever will. Okay?
Amen.
And God bless. And thanks very much for calling. And again, our telephone number, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest is Bill Schnevelin. And Bill has had certainly one of the most incredible odyssey, from witchcraft to masonry to Mormonism to Satanism. And then, of course, now, of course, is the disciple of Jesus Christ, and we do carry some of Bill's books and some of his DVDs, but in just a moment we're going to tell you how you can get in touch with his website to get his material, right? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bill, before we go on, would you like to get out your website and, of course, your telephone number?
Sure, yes. You can reach us on the web at www.withoneaccord.org. That's WITHONEACCORD.ORG. And our phone number is 563-513-2148. And that's in the Central Time Zone. 563-513-2148.
All right, and finally, of course, Bill's got an awful lot of good material. We carry several of his books, but he has a lot of books that we don't carry. And so certainly somebody just called in and wanted to know what you thought about the drumbeat towards war in the Middle East. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I assume they mean the new war. I mean, you know, we already kind of have one war going on there, but I think that this is probably part of the devil's agenda, to embroil this nation, to drain this nation of its resources. As some of your listeners may have heard me say in the past, this whole thing was told to me that it would unfold back in the 70s when I was involved in the Illuminati, that there would be, in fact, two Gulf Wars. And then the devil's plans kind of went off the rails. And So now we're kind of in terra incognita, as it were, but I definitely think that we are seeing steps to further embroil us in war in the Middle East. I don't think it's a good thing. I think that there's a hidden agenda that may involve either oil or power or either of the above, but it's definitely not a good thing, and I think we need to be very wary of what we're hearing from our government right now.
And I really think, of course, the thing is that the devil has a plan. Now, God has a plan, too. There's no question. But if you're looking and thinking logically about what's going on, we never should have gotten into the war in Afghanistan. We never should have gotten into the war in Iraq. And the last thing in the world we'd want to do is get in war with the entire Muslim world, because if we go to war over there, I believe it's going to certainly flare up all of that area. And, of course, I believe that it'll be a great resurgence, turning back to the radical form of Islam that existed at the time of the Prophet. And the Islamic movement was really literally non-existent outside of the Muslim Brotherhood and a few Wahhabis that lived in Saudi Arabia 20 years ago. And since, well, I say 27 years ago, because we really started trying to create this whole radical movement about 1980. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, we're talking about going to war with Iran, and I don't think most people, you know, if they look at what's going on, they sort of scratch their heads and say, well, I'm not really sure, you know, this is a great idea, but if you understand the spiritual forces behind this, it makes all the difference in the world. Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's, and of course, the hilarious thing in a way about all this is the power that's behind Islam is the same power that runs our government. And the same power that runs the British government, the Russian government, the Chinese government, and every other government. And people don't realize that. They don't realize that at the pinnacle of the pyramid, far above the presidents, the prime ministers, you know, whatever you want to call them, is in fact a council, the nine unknown men, that is run by Lucifer. And they basically, you know, whether it's our president or whether it's Ahmadinejad over in Iran or whatever, they're told what to do. And if they don't do it, they die. It's that simple. And I know this is how the hierarchy works because I've seen it work. So whenever we see what appears to be a quote-unquote rogue nation like North Korea or like Iran or whatever, that's all just being set up as a stage show to create more war, to create more treasure for the banks and for the arms merchants and all this stuff. And it's deeper than that, because you're right, it is a spiritual battle, and ultimately it's a battle about who is Lord over this world. And of course we know ultimately that the God of the Bible will be Lord over this world.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart, how are you doing? Haven't heard from you in some time.
Fine, sir, but I never stopped listening.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
A brief comment and a question. The brief comment is this. One of the most popular rock bands in world history was the band Led Zeppelin.
Right.
And the guitar player for that band is a man by the name of Jimmy Page.
And he was the one who bought Aleister Crowley's house, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
So these are the heroes of today's society. My question is this. I'll ask you, Mr. Schnevelin, that I've asked other people the same question. I don't know if it has an answer. I have a good understanding of the globalist New World Order. I've done a lot of study for many years, but the biggest mystery to me and the biggest unanswered question is this. For the past centuries, the men at the top of the power Illuminati pyramid have made decisions and done things that have created horrendous death and misery on this planet beyond imagination. And, for example, how can a man like, let's take Henry Kissinger, how does he lay his head down on the pillow at night and have sweet dreams? And how do these people live with themselves?
All right, that's a legitimate answer. How do these people, of course, Henry Kissinger, be doing
well, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
I seriously doubt that Henry Kissinger is having sweet dreams when he lays his head on the pillow, because he's a high-level Illuminatus, probably one of the highest in the English-speaking world. And I know from my time within that group that you do not sleep well at night. You live in absolute terror of the beings around you, of the beings that control you, of the demons within you, of the angels, the fallen angels that control you. control you. And it is not a happy life. You're led to believe it will be a happy life. You're led to believe that you will, you know, have immortality and great power and great wealth and live forever. But then, you know, like the Bible says, you'll die like a dog, you know. And I know that, that all of these people, because this is how I lived when I was in the Illuminati, you live in constant terror of doing something wrong, of angering, you know, the devil, of angering one of his fallen angelic minions, because they are terrible in how they punish you. It's much more like being in sort of a spiritual mafia than anything else. And that's what it's like. And if you're not very careful, you'll get bumped off. If you're not powerful enough, and you'll get replaced by somebody else, just again, like in the mob. So these people are literally demon-possessed to their eyeballs. They have very little, if any, conscience left. And that's how, if indeed they do sleep at night, they sleep, is that they're so overrun with demons that they're less than human. They're subhuman.
Well, does that answer your question, Bart?
It sure does, and it sure appears like they're prepared to unleash massive, horrible destruction on a lot of innocent people in Iran. And I think about it all the time, and I'm so worried about the people there that are going to suffer.
Well, but Bart, it's not going to just be on the people in Iran, because I believe there are going to be terrible repercussions here. I don't know what they're going to be, or whether there'll be terrorist attacks or civil unrest or a demonic attack on America. I don't know, but I do not believe you can continue doing what this country is doing without eventually bringing God's judgment on this land.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. God bless you both.
God bless you too, Bart. Good to hear from you. Well, let's go, of course, to Daniel. Is this the same Daniel who'd called earlier?
Yeah, this is the same guy. I just had a quick question, and I'll take the answer off the air.
All right, fine.
Have you heard about the third prophecy of George Washington, where he said he sees an army of red coming up from the south, and that was one of the great tests?
All right, fine. And do you know anything at all about that, Bill?
Actually, no, I haven't heard about that one, but I mean, you know, it's possibly valid. I honestly haven't heard of it, though.
So, but really, we don't know, we just have, but people have told us about it, Daniel, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But
you
I
know what, the only reason I mention it is that it's very interesting that when the illegal aliens protest on, like, May 1st, May Day, and all this, they're always, the communist flag is always in the center of the protest, and then the funding from that comes from organizations that say they fund communism, like the Ford Foundation, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I just, that's all, I guess.
All right, if any of our listeners would like to go into the background of the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, funding communism, we keep a book in print. It was written in 1958 by Rennie Wormser, who was the counsel for the Reese Committee that investigated the great tax-exempt foundations for the Congress of the United States. And in that book, it will tell you about how the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and Carnegie Foundation were funding communist organizations at that time. And today, of course, this whole movement for illegal aliens coming to America, La Raza, which means the race, Maldek, and they're all funded by the Ford Foundation. So it's like deja vu all over again. Hey, anything else, Daniel?
Well, that's about it. I know that Washington was a Mason, and then he said that the Illuminati, he called them the Jacobins, took it over, and he forbade it, and he tried to expose it. And
he sure did. We actually have his letters that he wrote back, I think about 1898, warning against the influence of the Illuminati here. But, of course, he knew they were here at that time. God bless, and thanks, Daniel. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have another question?
Well,
again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Mike.
Well, it's not what I called to talk about, but it might be good to talk about May 1st and the high satanic holiday and the day following Walpurgisnacht and the 10 days of preparation requiring bloody sacrifice. Bill, what do you know about that?
Well, yes, of course, May 1st is Beltane, which is one of the two most important witchcraft and satanic holidays, and there are human sacrifices required for those things. I'm not exactly sure about the 10 days beforehand. I think that may be varying from different satanic cults. We didn't have that particular thing in ours, but yeah, it is very likely that that's the case.
Anything else, Mike?
Well, regarding Henry Kissinger, he's I agree with everything that was said about him. For the caller who was asking, there's a video available on Amazon called The Trials of Henry Kissinger. Very revealing, an excellent biography of the man and his evil ways. And that's pretty much it for now.
Thanks very much, and okay. Certainly I've seen that video, and he is a very evil and wicked man. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Bill, somebody has commented about a video, I think you put it out, about Russia's secret weapon to destroy America, having something to do with Tesla and the scalar weapons. What's that all about?
Well, basically, the concept is that back when Nikola Tesla was alive, he had two big dreams. One was to provide free electrical power for everyone in the world, which, of course, Thomas Edison didn't like that one at all. And then the other was to create a world that was free of war. And toward that end, he developed, or was working on developing these technologies, one of which was like a Tesla shield, it's called, which is like a dome or a force field, so to speak, that can go over a city of most any size. And the other thing is the idea of these scalar weapons, where they're used offensively, and they can either create like a detonation, which is very much similar to that of a nuclear explosion, but the difference is it just sort of materializes out of thin air anywhere. There's no apparent delivery system. So in other words, you could be, you know, sitting on the White House lawn having your mint julep or whatever, and all of a sudden this thing materializes right in your lap, so to speak, a bubble of white, pure white hot energy that blows up with a force similar to a small nuclear weapon and flattens the whole White House. And the Russians, because they believe in Tesla, when the United States War Department did not, way back in the 30s and 40s, and remember back then, Russia was supposedly our ally, the Soviet Union and Stalin, they bought Tesla's secrets from him for what was in those days a fairly princely sum, and so they are years ahead of us in terms of developing these weapons. And I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of the HAARP, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project that supposedly used to be up in Alaska, and now some people have claimed it was moved somewhere else, but that is our attempt at creating this kind of technology. And supposedly the Russians are at least two generations or two iterations ahead of us in terms of developing this stuff. So this is very dangerous, because it essentially means with these kind of scalar weapons that you can attack anybody or anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. And so it does definitely give the Russians a leg up on us.
Well, of course, we know that Thomas Edison was involved with the occult. He was a member of the Theosophists. Do you think that Tesla was involved with the occult as well?
Well, oddly enough, I just had a correspondence yesterday from a fellow who claims that he has literature, statements from Tesla that make it sound like Tesla was a Christian. Now, of course, he was Serbian, and that might mean he was like either Serbian Orthodox or perhaps Roman Catholic, I don't know. But I don't have any clear, you know, proof of that one way or the other. But I do know that Edison very much did not have the best dealings of America at his heart. He wanted to make money. And unfortunately, he won out in that little power struggle. And so now today we're paying through the nose for electricity when we could have had it under Tesla's technology for free.
Well, of course, I think that Edison was working with J.P. Morgan, and there's J.P. Morgan, and the bankers, the last thing they wanted to do was get anything free. They wanted, of course, to control the utilities, which, of course, allows them to control the people.
Because, of course,
Well, anyway, we've just got a couple of more minutes here, Bill. What are the important messages that you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I think the number one thing is that even though these are troubling things to talk about and troubling times, they need to be vigilant and they need to be in prayer. They need to pray for our leaders. Whatever you might think of our leaders, we still need to pray for them. And we need to, I think it is a spiritual truth that, by and large, countries get the leaders that they deserve. And I think if more Americans took their faith seriously and really got serious with God and repented, that there would be, we'd have a whole turnaround on this nation. And I pray it's still time to do that, but I don't know anymore. We need to really just be hopeful and pray, and also, of course, witness to others and let them know what's going on. Let them know that only Jesus can save them from the wrath to come.
I'm sure that's absolutely true, Bill. And, of course, I think that our recurrent theme here at Radio Liberty is we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And when we see these things unfolding before us, and they don't make sense, then there has to be another explanation. And that, of course, takes us into the understanding that there is a supernatural realm, there is another dimension, there truly are demonic forces out there, and they have been directing the course of history for 5,000 years. And that's, of course, the story that we lay out in our talk on the forbidden knowledge. And certainly down through the ages, the great leaders of all time have all known about it, the great philosophers, but, of course, it was never to be known by the average individual. Well, Bill, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. And certainly I agree with you that prayer is really one of the few weapons that we have today. We can talk to people. We want to reach as many as we can, but so many people just don't want to hear anything that makes them feel uncomfortable. What do we do when we've run into these people who say, well, I really don't want to think about that. I'm much more concerned about the World Series or about the... about the football season, or certainly about my investments, or how do we address people like that?
Well, at that point, you just have to say, well, brother, I'll pray for you, you know, or sister, I'll pray for you, because, you know, at that point, it's like they're spiritually dense, and you almost have to pray for the Holy Spirit to take a 2x4 and hit them over the head, because, you know, C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone, and unfortunately, these people are so wrapped up in their BMWs or 401Ks or whatever you want to say they're into, you know, they're going to get hit. Either it's going to be, you know, a national disaster, or it's going to be a personal disaster. And believe you me, we've had some disasters in our life personally, and it is so much different if you have Jesus with you in the midst of those things, since he will always see you through. Your stocks and bonds won't see you through, believe me, but Jesus will see you through. So I just tell people like that, well, listen, you have this set of values and that's what's working for you, fine. But realize that someday all that gold or all those boats or RVs are going to burn, and what are you going to have? You know, Jesus said that we need to lay up treasure in heaven, and that's what's important. And, of course, they might just, you know, laugh at you, and that's fine. But at least you've been a watchman. You've given them the warning, and that's all you're required to do. I remember my dear friend Jim Spencer saying, remember, though, the Holy Spirit is in management. We're just in sales.
Now, was that the Bill Spencer who was into Masonry?
Jim Spencer. Yes. He was an ex-Mormon.
Okay, fine.
He's an ex-Mormon. He's in Idaho. Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, I really want to thank you so very much for being with it, Bill. It's always a pleasure, and if something comes up that you'd like to, utilize the little network that we have, why, that's what it's here for, not for me.
Okay, that'd be great.
But to try to get information out one more time, let's get out your webpage.
Sure.
And your telephone number.
Yes, our website is www.withoneaccord.org. withoneaccord.org. And our phone number is 563-513-2148.
All right, fine. Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we always look forward to having you as a guest here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, but good night. All right, fine. Well, that's Bill Snevelin and with One Accord Ministries. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we hope that you enjoyed our program this evening. I think that Bill has a tremendous insight into what's going on. I always learn from him. I think he is well qualified to talk about the dark side because he's been part of it in the past. Well, of course, this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with us that we are involved in this great spiritual battle between good and evil that has existed since the beginning of time, and you'd like to become part of our ministry, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but I want to warn you that we are not tax exempt. We will not take a 501c3 status because, well, we want to be able to tell you the truth. And once you accept something from the government, why, you belong to them, unfortunately. And there really are some evil and wicked people there. There's, once again, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar on the 28th of October. We're bringing in speakers from across the country. A good time is going to be had. Hope you can make it. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we really hope you can come. Remember, we are serving lunch. We're going to start, the doors will open probably at 7:30, and we'll start at about 8:30. We'll go through till 5 or 5:30 in the evening. We'll have plenty of time for questions, and we hope that will come and bring your friends. And if they're skeptical about the things we talk about, maybe it may begin to change their outlook on what's going on. And then, of course, we always urge our listeners to go to our website. Certainly we have a link there to our live videos, and you can actually watch many of the videos we've either done ourselves or have been done at our conferences. And then we have our live radio programs or our archived or our MP3 radio programs. And, of course, you can actually listen there on the live streaming to Radio Liberty 9 hours a day. Of course, we only do 5 hours, so some of them are actual replays, but you can listen to Joyce Riley at the Power Hour, and of course, tremendous information, good, solid information, and you can listen to it on the Internet, or you can certainly get a inexpensive satellite dish and of course, pull that down from Telstar 5. And if you need more information on that, give us a call. Then, of course, you can read our newsletters. And our newsletters, I believe, will give you tremendous insight. We're doing a series now on financial meltdown. What is happening to our markets, our financial markets? What is going to happen to the monetary system here in the United States? People have been shouting doom and gloom for years. I mean, and the monetary system has always recovered. Is it going to recover again this time? Is there another agenda behind what's going on? What are the spiritual implications of what's happening in the stock market? What's happening in the monetary market? Well, anyway, of course, you will certainly want to read our newsletters, and we'll be glad to send you one of them free if you'd like. Certainly, you'd certainly want to read listen to my talk on the Financial Tsunami. It's available on video or certainly on DVD, and it comes with a syllabus. You need to have that information. And then, of course, if you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, my book, which explains what's going on, and of all the secret societies that are out there, why the book or the DVD are available. And then, of course, there's the new talk, Forbidden Secret, and then, of course, the DVD with Chris Pinto, The Atlantis Connection, because, of course, the people on the other side believe America is to become the new Atlantis, and that's really why we're fighting over in the Middle East. We're going to lead the whole world towards the new world order, the new world religion, towards world democracy, and with a new world leader. So please remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Remember our all-day conference on the 28th of October. Remember, of course, we are involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if there's no revival, we're not going to save America. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.